All right. Okay, let's get into this. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, or the Logos. This is a quick review, guys. So, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the Word, Logos, became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. What is the Word that became flesh? Jesus, right? We all know that. So, Jesus is the Word of God. You know, I grew up like this. Get into the Word. Cat, get into the Word more. I see people getting into the Word more that have nothing to do with Jesus. And you know what? All they're doing is getting grumpier and grumpier. Do this more. How many of you guys know if we have to work, we get angry? That's what it says. It says, you know what? Is the works of the flesh are obvious. Anger, strife, murder, all these different things. So if we have to do something more to receive something from God, you know what you're going to get? An angry Christian. That's what it is. And no wonder the world hates it. I hated it. I go, God, if that's Christianity, I'm cool over here. These guys are more fun. Right? We're supposed to be the most fun on the planet. That's what it's because we have all the blessings of God without having to do any of the works. So that makes us fruit of the Spirit is what it says. You guys get it? All right. So the whole message, the Word became flesh. The whole message then has to be about Jesus. And this is what, Joe, you and I are talking about. If you're reading this thing and it doesn't sound like good news, I promise you we're not interpreting it right. We're missing this somehow. Follow me? So I like to put it down and if you're getting condemned, then stop. Just go, you know what, Lord, I'm just going to enjoy you. I'm going to let you treat me like a bride that I am. And you're just going to spoil me. Well, you don't deserve it. Exactly. That's the good news. I know I don't deserve it. Amen? That's the really good news. So, the Word became flesh. So, this whole Bible, this message, the Word that became flesh is Jesus. So, the message or the logic of God is, you know what? Jesus is your representative now. Everything he has, you have. He makes it simple for us. He goes, you know what? You are the bride of Christ. Two have become one. You are a joint heir now. You've become one. You share the same everything as Jesus. So the message you need to know is what does Jesus' life look like right now? Is he completely joyful? Yeah. Is he completely healthy? Yeah. Is he completely prosperous? Yes. So guess what? Then that's us. That's who we are. And that's where I'm trying to get to you is we are married to the great I am now. And people don't understand this, and I'm going to finish with that again today because he says, I am that I am. When Moses said, who should I say sent you? And he said, I am that I am. What does that mean? That means I believe in something so much, I'm persuaded of something so much that it naturally becomes who I am. That's how the gospel works. When I believe listen, you do not become prosperous by throwing checks at my feet. Or sowing into the anointing. Or whatever. I don't know whatever stuff you heard. Give me $53 because then you'll get Isaiah 53. The book I read says I already got Isaiah 53. Does that make sense? Or whatever. I just, you know, all the nonsense that I grew up doing. And so guess what? I would write checks and we'd throw stuff. Did it help me one bit? No. All it did is put a dent in my checkbook. Right? How do you become prosperous? Knowing you are already prosperous because you're joint heir in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? I am so prosperous because I've believed that truth about my life now that I become prosperous. That's all it is. There's nothing I can do, including giving, that makes me more prosperous. Does that help you guys? So, this is where people get confused. There's nothing I can do to be forgiven more. I'm already forgiven. All of you guys are completely forgiven. What do we need to do? Believe that truth that we're already forgiven. Does that make sense? And so everything in the new covenant comes from something in our heart that we believe Jesus already made us that. So he's already made you prosperous. That's the message about your life. I don't care what's going on, whether it's legal or anything else. You can go, wait a minute, would Jesus lose this thing? No. Then I'm not going to lose this thing. And you know what? You start to experience life when you renew your mind to that. That's that Zoe life that you start to feel. You just start to walk around when it doesn't make sense going, man, I have life. This is what it's going to be. And you know what? If it doesn't turn out exactly, you know what you can expect? He'll restore it. It's going to get better. Amen? Okay, if I lost something, no problem. He's going to restore sevenfold. No worries. Amen? That's the gospel. That's you become what you believe so much that you become it. It sounds funny, but I am that I am. God goes, I am love, so I believe I love people so much that's all I can do is I just love. Because that's what I have. That's who I am. Does that help you guys? So we are done with the human doing thing. We're the human beings. The old covenant was about human doing. If I do these things, if I bless, if I get this curse, if I go to this stream, if I whatever. I'm just trying to get all the charismatic stuff out of the way that I grew up learning. If I apply my faith to that car, I'm going to get it and speak at it. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. It's, Father, I asked for that. Thank you. You're either going to give me that or something better. Father, hallelujah. That's it. Amen? That's all it is. That's the new covenant. And it's so good that we can't believe it. Oh, come on. Right? Isn't that true? But that's why it's the gospel literally means, we in English, we think it's really easy. But it literally means the too good to be true news. Now, if we have a hard time believing that, imagine the old covenant Jews, that they had to do all these works, they had to do all these ritual baths, they had to do all these different things. And then this dude comes along, Jesus, and he throws up the whole apple cart and goes, you don't need to do anything anymore. Just believe in me. Blasphemy. Does that make sense? So I get it that some of you guys think I'm blaspheming right now. Think about those guys. Because there's nothing to do but believe in the new covenant. As many as believed in me, to them he gave the right to become sons. And if I'm a son, I'm a joint heir of the whole house. You guys get it? Okay. Yeah, but Arnold, no. You can't have divine health eating that. We're right back into works. Does that make sense? So anyway, I had fun with some of the people in Chicago yesterday. Said, when did sickness come in? Was it their diet? They ate the most whole foods organic apple on the planet. Their diet killed them. They had the knowledge of good and evil. See, the only way you can receive divine health, guys, is to believe he's already given it back to you through the meal. Amen? You guys get this? Anyway, so, all right. So the message about your life is Jesus. He became flesh. He demonstrated what he was. And the only people he got ticked off with were the religious people who tried to earn it. That's all he did. To the sinner, which you and I, guess what? All he gives is pure grace. Isn't that good news? Pure grace. We don't deserve a thing, and that's how he responded. So let's just go through a quick review. All right, John 8:3. Oh, sorry, I did too long on the... I'll tell you what it is. But all right, anytime you see scribes and Pharisees, know he's not talking to you. What are the scribes and Pharisees, what are they experts at? Legalism. They'll never do anything good. Okay? Jesus called them sons of the devil, whitewashed tombs, and that's where Scripture can go, look, it's in there. So anytime you see scribes and Pharisees, no, it's not to you. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery, which is really us. And when they had set her in his midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Stones are always pictures of the law. The law will always make you guilty. See, it says in there, don't commit adultery. See? That's Scripture. Does that make sense? But, Logos of God, message of God, what do you say? So they're asking the Logos of God, Jesus, right? Hey, we know the old covenant says we're all guilty, but Jesus, what do you say? Then they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers, though he did not hear. And this is where... I just want to show you this. Everything he's fulfilling everything that's in the old covenant, the type and the shadow. So how many times did God write on tablets in the old covenant to Moses? Twice. The first time he writes on the tablet, Moses comes down, what happened?
Breaks them.
Right? So he's saying, listen, if you're going to use the Old Testament scriptures, Pharisees, then you've broken it. You've broken the law. You guys get it? All right, as though he did not hear him. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up. Hey, listen, anytime he rose, what happens? It's justification of life. He goes, listen, anytime I rose, that means you're completely sinless. I died for your transgressions, but I rose for your justification. You guys get it? All right, so he's talking to the Pharisees yet. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he was without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. Meaning that, and we all do this, we all have heard this growing up, hey, don't judge, because with the same measure you judge, you'll be judged. Is God judging you with that measure? No, you know who's judging you? Your heart. That's why they get angry and hypocritical. You know, I talk to people all the time and go, bad news is okay. You just need to be communicated, but hypocrisy is what kills people. You cannot say and do something and then be something else. It just doesn't work. Does that make sense? So that's why you'll never go, look at me, man. I've never sinned for 3 months. I should fall down like Ananias and Sapphira there, right? That's why it's easier to go, listen, I'm a mess, and it's all by the grace of God, so that way I don't have to uphold this thing. Does that make sense? Because all of us are guilty in the law. All of us have broken the stones. That's what he's trying to say. Then he said, test him. They might have something which to accuse him. All the law wants to do is to accuse you of something, right? And if you're here and if you're hearing this the first time, guys, Jesus does not want to accuse you of one thing. He wants you to go, what are you talking about? I removed sin of the world. Why are you even sin conscious? Why are you even worried about what you've done? Why don't you just receive what I've done? That's inheriting something, right? Okay. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up because everybody was justified. He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. And you can't read this probably, but again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So this is the second time that I missed last week. He wrote on the ground again, which were stones in the temple courts. And this is where I differ from most people, is in the holiest of holies, is those are all pictures of Jesus, the whole ark, everything. So what he's saying is if you listen to me, the second stones I wrote on, it's as if you've never broken them. And they are under the mercy seat, as well as the rod that budded. We were dead, but came life because of the Aaron's rod, right? Aaron's rod is a picture of what? Him, right? The unbroken stones is a picture of him. The golden pot of manna that we're supposed to feed on is what? Picture of him. And in Revelation, it says, come eat out of this golden pot. Come eat out of the things of the holiest of holies. So I don't think it's something that we have to worry about. Look, he's showing you everything that he's redeemed you from. Your man's commandments that they broke. The second stones were unbroken, and that's how he treats you, as if you've never broken the stones. Isn't that cool? I think it is cool. So what he's showing them is, let's just keep going. Verse 9, then those who heard it, being convicted of their conscience. See, he told the Pharisees and Sadducees, is if you're going to base it on stones, what the scripture says, what's going to happen to you? They went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. So as soon as all the old covenant was gone, Moses, your servant is dead, then they could go into the full new covenant. There was no mixture anymore. There was that wilderness period of 40 years where they had law and grace, right? And it didn't work very well. But as soon as everything was gone, Moses, the servant, is dead. Now Yeshua, Joshua, the first five books of the law, you guys know that, the Pentateuch, right? After that was completely gone, then they could go into Canaan land. Not one person could go in until then. You guys get it? Okay. That's why the next verse is, you guys know that, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Pentateuch, the law of Moses. Follow me? Once Moses, your servant, is dead, then they could go into the promises. Yeshua, Joshua. You guys get it? So all scripture is even written it's an awesome thing. So, all right. And then if you want to keep going on it, the old covenant, after Joshua, is what's the next book? Judges, right? And the old covenant, were they judged? After Jesus. And the new covenant, what's your judgment? Righteous. So after Jesus, your judgment is righteous. In the old covenant, he gave 12 judges to show them they were guilty. New covenant, he gave them 12 apostles to preach that you're unguilty. The whole Bible makes sense if you really get it. Does that make sense? So you can't look at Judges and go, see, God's scripture says this. Yeah, he's designed to kill you, but that program's over. In the new covenant, he didn't give the judges, he gave the 12 apostles. Follow me? And what did the apostles tell everybody? Stop working for this thing. Receive the truth. Right? And 3,000 people lived at Pentecost. Anyway, somehow I'm losing you. The whole thing's about an old one and a new one, and if the new one's good, the old one will kill you. Scripture can kill you. It's what it says. The law was given so that sin would increase. The law written engraved on stones is the ministry, the serving of death. So if they're preaching out of the Old Testament and they're not showing it's a type and shadow, they're serving you with death. How's it feel? Hopefully I'll never serve you with death. Hopefully I go, man, it's good. It's really good. You'll want to eat this stuff. It's the golden pot that we get to eat. We get to eat Jesus today, not the law, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We get the tree of him, the tree of life. Follow me? And we all know that. Hey, we get more out of honey than a stick or whatever. What's that saying? Than vinegar. Yeah, you know what? Who said that? Yeah. Vinegar. Jesus took the vinegar. He took the sour wine on the cross. We don't have to drink vinegar anymore. Now it's all honey. You guys get it? Okay, all right, and Jesus, so the stones, once the stones were gone, now the message of God, the word of God, can speak, okay? So the message of God, Jesus, and Jesus was left alone. Once the law is gone and all you see is Jesus, keep your eyes on him, not old covenant, unless you're seeing it's just a type and shadow of the good things to come, okay? Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw No one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are your accusers? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. The message of God, the logos of God says, neither do I. Go and now receive forgiveness of sins for the rest of your life. Isn't that cool? That's cool to me. Let me show you one example of scripture versus the word of God. So the word of God is this, guys. It's so fundamental. How many guys grew up in church going, he gives us forgiveness of sins? Didn't we? Did anybody really know what it means? Hey, he forgives you, Arnold. Now get to shape and confess some more because he didn't forgive the ones after you got saved. Now get to work. Right? No, he forgave once for all, like we saw in communion. Once for all. What's for all? See, the Bible's so simple, I think smart people have a hard time getting it. Thank you, Lord, I'm Polish, because I get it. I'm like, once for all, thank you, Father, that it's once for all that I'm forgiven. Hallelujah. Well, no, they're going to run out and sin. No, they're just going to lie about it. They're still going to sin. They're just going to lie and not dare tell anybody. So, isn't that true? Yes. See, when as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when I know I'm forgiven, I don't have a desire to run out and, now do I mess up? Yes, I'm chief mess up. That's what Paul said. I'm cornerstone of nonsense. So, but the good news is, no, I'm chief mess up. I can preach grace because I know it has nothing to do with us. Does that make sense to you guys? And when you know you're completely forgiven, that I don't have to work to be forgiven anymore, you start to exhibit fruits of the Spirit. You start to be more self-controlled. You start to love more. You start to do all these things more. We tried to do through classes, deliverance, all the nonsense, and we got angry at each other because it was designed to do that. Hey, you got to do this to be forgiven or get this curse out of your life. You know what actually made us? Mad. See, honey, I told you it was your fault. No, it's your fault. Your dad was the mason. I'm like, God, I know you're right. Let somebody else get that curse out of my life. The book I read says he hung on the cross so that the curse of the law I'm redeemed from. Amen? He's your redeemer. He got rid of every curse on the cross. Don't go into that nonsense. Right? In fact, most of the deliverance guys are the most cursed-looking people I've ever met. I'm like, if I could get prayed by you, I'm in good shape. I'm staying where I'm at. Because I don't have all the junk. I don't have demons jumping in my house. So, you got it? All right. It's actually good. So some of you, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, praise God. Because you don't have to go through the nonsense. Because we go through all these hoops and things. And, well, you didn't go through this deliverance. And you didn't do this. And you did this. And you got this. You got to throw away these books that are in your house. And these rock music. Oh, my God. Right? And whatever, I don't know what you're doing. And now I realize we throw away a lot of good music that I like. I have to buy it again. So, and we did it. Does that make sense? You know what my life did? Absolutely nothing. And I'm going, I'm trying. It's finally when you start just believing the truth, it works. You mean I'm perfect and righteous and complete in Christ? That's what the Logos says. Jesus says, you're perfect in me. Well, if I'm perfect in me, then I get all the blessings, right? Yes. Yeah, but there's no yeah buts there. That's the legalist, want to put the yeah but in there. Yeah, but it says this. I know that's scripture. But the word of God is you're perfect. Amen? You are worthy to be blessed in the middle of your nonsense. That's the greatest message in the world. It's the greatest message in the world. So, all right, let's go through one more. Luke 5:17. Sorry, Jeff, I put these slides too long. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching, that this is Jesus, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. Remember, every time you see Pharisees in the law, what's he doing? He's going to put the law back on them, but he's going to share the good news about us. That's what he always does. So there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town, Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Guys, listen. He was there. He is the good news. So I see a lot of people going, you feel that? His power is ready to heal you today. It is always there. And he will heal you every day, every second, every minute. It's not whether he's here or not, whether we feel it or not. He goes, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he came with healing in his wings, so the power to heal is always here, every day. In fact, I believe that ministering the gospel of grace heals more people than laying on of hands, personally, because they stay healthy longer, right? We'll lay hands on any one of you and take care of your nonsense today. Heal, no question. That's what we want to do, but I know how to keep you there is to keep you believing the good news so your body just responds. Has nothing to do with age, has nothing to do with diet, has nothing to do with anything, has to do with the power of God unto sozo is out of the good news of your heart. Everything in the kingdom, how many of you guys would like to enjoy divine health? It comes out of your heart. Amen? It comes out of what do you believe about yourself. I believe I'm completely sinless. Your body will start to function correctly. Your brain will start to function correctly. It's really interesting. So, anyway, most of the people that are diagnosed with bipolar, guys, all they need to do is believe the good news. They believe all kinds of crazy stuff when you get to talk to them. Most of them are condemned about something. And there's some guilt or something that we just got to shine the good news on their life, and they start to come out of it naturally. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. And you know what, David, I was thinking about something you were sharing with me earlier, is the mind of Christ, because we pray that. You know, I have the mind of Christ. And somehow, I think what we think is, well, I think like Jesus thinks, which is somewhat true, right? But the mind of Christ literally is, I have the mind that whatever Christ did, I have. Follow me? I think when we go, it's the mind of Christ, so I should be able to do, and I get all that, you know, it's really true, is anything, he'll give you anything if you want it. But the mind of Christ is simply, my mind is on him. I don't have a stony mind or a stony heart. I have a mind of Christ. That I'm anointed in everything. Hallelujah. Does that make sense? That's what the mind of Christ is. Is he's going to bless me despite me. That's the mind of Christ. Got it? Okay. All right. So now it happened on a certain day, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, sitting by, who had come out of every town. Then behold, men brought a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And then we could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd. They went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. So they brought him to the word of God. Follow me? The Pharisees and the law teachers could do nothing. They go, this isn't working in our lives anymore. Let's bring him to the Logos of God. Let's bring him to Jesus, the word of God. You guys know what Jesus is going to do, right? Heal him. Because his word of God, the word of God, the present to heal. It's him. He's present to heal. How many of you guys know he's present to heal? Yeah, has nothing to do with a feather falling out, so now we can believe he's here. Or my tooth turned gold, and now he's here. So, when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, your sins are forgiven you. Now, how many guys, that'll irritate a Pharisee or a legalist, even to this day. You can't tell people they're forgiven. Right? What do they think? The law's not over. Look at your life. There's no way you're forgiven. Look at you, you've still got all these things, right? Well, what does the word of God say? The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Jesus said, man, your sins are forgiven. Blasphemy. So guess what? When I tell people they're forgiven for the rest of their life, you know what kind of emails I get? I'm serious. The legalists just blast you with stones. And I'm going, why? How joyful is that to tell people how bad they are? Right? They're already hurting, man. I don't need to tell them how bad they are. Right? How many guys have ever gotten into something where you're the reason? And then you come to us and go, well, let me tell you why you're in this. We start throwing stones at you. Does that make sense? That's miserable to me. I don't need to know. I already know. I know I'm not very good. So the scribes and the Pharisees, stop being a scribe and a Pharisee. Share the gospel. It'll amaze you what happens when you just go, man, Jesus loves you. Really? That's what you're worried about? You messed up? Welcome to the mess up club. Here's the good news, man. Despite that, he's already made your provision for it, your restoration for it. He will do everything. That's how he can't deny himself. That's the good news of Jesus. Amen? All right. So who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Where are they reasoning? They have a stony heart versus a heart of a mind of Christ. Follow me? They're pro-God but anti-Christ. Most Christians are pro-God, anti-Christ. Most of them I run into, they're like, well, he didn't do everything. You go, yeah, he did. So he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say. This is the point I wanted to get to. What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? What's easier? They're the same, actually. My wife, they're the same. He's showing them it's the same. Right? But he has the power to forgive sin. So which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? He's giving them a rhetorical question, kind of. But so that you may know that the Son of Man, who is Jesus, the Logos of God, the Word of God, has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Why do I want to get to this part? Let's go to Deuteronomy 28, and we'll finish this up, okay? See, to the Jewish mind is, if anything was wrong with you, if you were in poverty, if you had leprosy, if you were blind, if you couldn't walk, what did that mean? you sinned, right? Or you were cursed. It's all the same. Hey, you know what? The curse of the law, if you miss one, then all these curses. So if we read Deuteronomy 28, this is how I was taught in Word of Faith. Now, it shall come to pass, it's contingent upon you. That's how they would teach this, right? Didn't they teach us that in Bible school, Laura? Honestly, it was like, which part of the covenant are you not fulfilling? Oh, let's not go there. Because I'm sure there's something that you'll find, right? If you guys are wearing mixed fabric clothes, you're guilty of it all. See, I love McDonald's breakfast burritos. There's sausage in it. I do. I love it. Love it. Well, I broke the law, right? Because I eat pork. Isn't that interesting? It shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, then the Lord will set you on high above all nations. So it's contingent upon our obedience. Does that make sense? So there's ifs, thens. But if you missed any, if you go down to starting at about verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all of his commandments, his statutes, which I command you today, then all these curses will come upon you. All right, so not being able to walk was one of the curses listed here. Does that make sense? So what Jesus was showing them, what I want to show you is the only reason sickness, curses, poverty, anything like that could come on you in the old covenant was if you've broken and you've sinned. Follow me? But Jesus was coming to go, I've got a new program, guys, as I'm going to prove to you that I'm the one that's written in all your scriptures that can forgive sin. Now, guess what? If he's separated you from your sin, then what? If you've never sinned, should you be blessed? Yes. Well, guess what? You've never sinned in the new covenant. You're dead to it. Amen? So now let's go back to Deuteronomy 28. And so you can go look. If you look at this list in 15, don't look for, oh God, this is going to come upon me. Does that make sense? But if you see a symptom in there, know that has no right to you anymore. He's separated you from sin. And if you're separated from sin, then you are worthy of all the blessing. You guys get it? That's why the new covenant says every promise now is not if, then. Every promise in the new covenant is yes, and so be it. Hallelujah. So we need to plant yes and so be it in our house. So guess what? When you become yes and so be it so much, you are I am that I am. I am prosperous. Then there's no way that you cannot be prosperous when you plant it in your heart long enough. Right? It's not. So it's not you throwing money on, see, whatever, television station. It's not that. Hey, guess what? We love to give, but it's out of an abundant heart. Like, Lord, you've blessed us so much, we want to give. Amen? And that's just how it's supposed to work in the new covenant. You guys got it? Okay, so he's showing them, hey, which is harder, to forgive you of sin or to say, rise up and walk? They're the same to me because I'm the guy who's separating you from sin. And if you're separated from sin, I can tell every one of you, be healed. You got to know, though, that you're forgiven of sin first. Does that make sense? That's where all the nonsense came. That knowledge of good and evil is what's holding us, every one of us, back from the goodness of God. We are still under this old covenant mixture thing that we're not worthy to receive every blessing because there's still something in us. And I get it, guys, childhood, all this different stuff. But you know what? That's why you need to renew your mind to, I am worthy to be blessed, every single blessing. And that's who I'm just going to live that way. You guys understand that? It's not your level. That's what I can't stand. Faith has nothing to do with you. You applying your faith to that thing. I want to pull my hair out most of the time when I hear people's definition on faith. First, you need a substance to apply your faith to. Because then you need to hope for that. I'm like, God, can you read? They're taking it out of context. Faith is all of these promises are now our reality in Jesus Christ. Hey, those were the shadows of good things to come, but now you have the title deed in Jesus. That's what all that means. So you don't have to apply your faith to a house. You just have to go, man, I'm prosperous. I ask God for that thing. It's mine. Hallelujah. And that's it. You know what? You can forget about it. Just go, hey, whatever I put my hand to, I'm going to kick butt. Right? I'm trying to be obedient. You can't, so give it up. Just go plant in your heart. Right? You obedient little knucklehead, you can't do it. You're going to miss something. You're going to miss one. And then you'll feel guilty. Follow me? That's why I don't like formulas in business and jobs and follow this thing and then you'll be prosperous. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get 99 out of 100 And you're going to miss one, and you're going to focus on the one. Versus going, man, I'm kicking butt. Look what's going on in my life. And then you go, I didn't do this enough. I missed this one. And that's just how we're built. We start focusing on that, obsessing over that one thing. And then we go, I guess I just could never be prosperous. Right? You guys follow me? So we need to go, wait a minute, I'm out of that old covenant. This is my body and the blood of the new covenant. I'm in a new one. And it says the new one, this is who I am. And when I believe I'm completely blessed, then I'm blessed. Follow me? Okay, so let's just go look at this. He separated you from sin, so 15 down doesn't apply to you. Praise God. But every promise is applied to you. Let's read some of these. They're pretty good. All right? Now, it shall come to pass. The new covenant, it came to pass. It came to pass 2,000 years ago on the cross. Follow me? The title deed was now given to you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So now every promise is yes and amen. So now we go, and these blessings shall come upon me and overtake me because I obeyed the voice of the Lord. How many of you guys obeyed the voice of the Lord? Every time. I can't even hear them half the time after I get taught. It's like stand on your left foot, get quiet by yourself, fast, do all this stuff, and then hear that gentle voice. I'm so angry by this time that I can't hear Jack. That's just how I'm wired. Trust me. I only hear, Mike, relax. You're perfect in me. Yes, I hear that. That's what I hear. Follow me? Does that help you? How many guys went to, you got, it got worse when you separated yourself unto God. I know it did to me. I got angry and hungry. So, and we're supposed to have joy in the new covenant. We're supposed to have joy and eat at the marriage feast of the Lamb, but stop eating and get close to God. Put your flesh down, you fleshy little thing. I swear to God, guys, I remember the few times, I think I told you this last week, but I would try to go fast, and God would sit, he would go, what are you doing? By you trying to put your flesh down to hear from me is the very definition of flesh. If you have to do something to hear from me, it's flesh. And I'd go, honey, I'm coming home. Let's eat. Right? I would. And I was like, she's like, and then I would try it again 2 months later because I need to seek the Lord. Nothing wrong with any of that. But all he's doing, he's going, why don't you tell me what you want to do? That's what Psalm 37, 4 and 5 is all about. Hey, listen, I'm going to put a desire in your heart. I'm going to put it there. Just delight yourself in me going, man, you'll give me whatever I want. Yep, that's the program. Really? And we're sitting there, I wanted to hear from God. And he's going, just A, B, C, or D, which one do you want? Pick one. Or do all the above. Whatever. This isn't hard to him. Does that make sense? But we make it difficult. Like, I don't. The reason this is happening in my life because I haven't heard God correctly. Wrong. The reason it's happening in his life because you feel like you missed him. And you can't miss him. You go, you miss it? No problem. I'm in the job of cleaning up messes. That's the gospel. It really, it's too good to be true. Follow me? Does that help? He's waiting for you going, this is what I want to do with my life. He goes, fantastic. That's exactly what I was thinking. Because guess what? I was the one who put that in your heart. Amen? Well, then it says, commit it to me. Trust me. I'll do it. How's he going to do it? By planting the good news in your heart. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, guys. The kingdom comes from what's in our heart. It has nothing to do with external stuff. Follow me? What do you believe? Do you believe you can go do that? Yes, then it's yours. How is he going to do it? Because I gave it to him, I'm trusting in him, and he will do it for me. That's what it says. Isn't that amazing? Is that good news? Is that better than 12 steps? What if... I was joking with these guys I was with yesterday. They said, Matt, because we were following this program. And I said, man, I got in when it was easy. There were only 8. Now there's like 12. So it was easy for me because I had 4 less than you to follow. So... But we start putting more and more and more and more things on, and we miss the very thing is just believe what Jesus did for you. That's all how the kingdom works. Does that help you? All right, let's finish this up. So, here it was, Deuteronomy 28. Okay, you ready for the goodness?
Yes.
You shall be blessed in the city, you shall be blessed in the country.
Amen.
I'm waiting to hear God from where I need to go. He goes, it doesn't matter where you go. You're the country, city, just go somewhere, right? Don't you see people move because they think, I heard God, I need to, like, you don't have to. He'll bless you wherever you are because you can't separate yourself from the blessing. I'm trying to free you up from all this nonsense religious teaching you've got. You shall be blessed in the city, you shall be blessed in the country. If you live in this city, in this country, you're either in the city or the country. Well, where are you going to be blessed? Wherever you are, all right? Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, offspring of your flock. Doesn't that sound like everything? whatever, you're blessed. Amen. Blessed shall be the basket, your kneading bowl. Blessed what you eat. Blessed shall be when you come in. Blessed you be you go out. What does that mean? It's, hey, listen, you start realizing how much you're loved, you won't dread going home. Amen. Well, you know, he's a workaholic because he wants to stay away from his marriage or whatever. I go, you know what? When you start knowing how much you're loved, you'll start to learn how to love your wife. And note, once she learns how much she's loved, you'll love your husband. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. There's none of this balance teaching. You know, it's not quality, it's quantity. I'm like, would you guys, it's just requirements again. You guys know what I'm trying to say? Well, you know, it's quality time, it's quantity time. It's none of that. It's blessed when I go in, it's blessed when I go out. Period. No quantities. Am I helping you? We condemn ourselves by this nonsense. And ladies, stop watching the TV. See? Look. They gave him quality time. I want to thump him. You know, some of the most blessed people, great marriages we know, they're busier than ever. Hardly see each other. They just know, man, I'm blessed when I come in, blessed when I come out. Does that make sense? Oh, wait. Anyway, probably stepping on some toes now. Because it's easy to feel sorry for ourselves, isn't it? You watch Dr. Phil or something. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be defeated. Hey, the battle's not yours. Isn't that good news? Father, I've got this enemy going on. We don't need to do anything to him. Just go, I know you're going to protect me because I'm more than conquering you. The Lord will command the blessing on you and your storehouses and all that you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. The Lord will command the blessing. If God commands his blessing on you, you think it's going to come to pass? Absolutely. Doesn't that give you more assurance than if you do these things, then I'll bless you? He goes, this promise is yes to you now. Father, thank you that you command the blessing on me and everything I put my hand to shall bless. Hallelujah. Well, how do you know it's going to work? Because it says it's going to work, and I'm persuaded to that. Right? Despite me, that's the thing. So, the Lord will command the blessing on you. The Lord will establish you as a holy or sanctified, set-apart people to himself. He will do it. There's nothing for you to go, make me holy, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't deserve it. So he goes, I'll make you holy. The Lord will establish you. He's going to do all this. He has sworn to you if you keep the commandments. Did we keep the commandments? No. Jesus do it? Yes, then that is yes and amen. You guys get what I'm saying? So if you need anything in your life, go through these promises. The Lord will open up to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you rain in your land in the season. Bless all the work of your hand. Hallelujah. You shall lend the nations, you shall not borrow. All those are yes and amen to you. Isn't that good news? All right, let's finish this up. Last slide here. All he's trying to show you is the law will only condemn you. It can never forgive you. It can only show you that you broke the stones. But the word of God, Jesus, the very message of the whole Bible is, I don't condemn you, I bless you. That's the whole message of that Bible is I just want to forgive you for everything and now enjoy your inheritance. Does anybody believe that? I believe it. Now the legalists, they're up there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are still trying to find stones. They're trying to find the yabbats in there. Jesus was demonstrating that by removing sin, we just saw that. He goes, listen, to prove to you that I can remove sin, I can tell this man now stand up and walk. Because if there's no sin, then that can't be there. It has no right to be there anymore. But the new covenant, guys, we experience all this thing out of what we believe in our heart. Follow me? Do I believe in miracles? Of course I do. That's why we operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But I think even more powerful is to live a better way by what we believe in our heart. Follow me? I just believe that. I believe the good news is the power of God unto salvation is what it says. Right? So, I know that the kingdom works whatever I start to plan in my heart. And you know what? The New Agers, they get this. The only thing they don't have is they don't have forgiveness of sins. But how many of you guys know they outperform most believers? They do. Look at Bill Gates and all these guys. They're going, you guys go mess around over there in your Bible study. I'm just going to make a difference. Right? Isn't that when we were talking with Pastor Bill? He's like, because he was friends with Bill Gates. I don't know if you remember that. And he goes, you Christians are okay. You just don't make a difference. I'm like, he's right. Because we're still trying to get blessed. Right? And he's just going, man, I'm just going to use my mind. I'm going to plant stuff. I believe I can do this. And guess what? Bill Gates is so fearfully and wonderfully made. Guess what happens? Whatever he put in his heart happens. And we're going, no, but it's wealth with sorrows and all this. I go, no, you're more sorrowful than him. He's kicking butt, enjoying life. You're the one with sorrows because you're putting legalism on yourself. So all I'm trying to do is the believers, you and I, we got the good stuff. We got everything. We got the forgiveness of sins and whatever we believe we can do. Follow me? All right, so the message of the Logos of God is Jesus. If you're separated from sin, then all the promises of God are now yours. That's why you can go to that Deuteronomy and go, that promise is now mine. Well, I need to hear from him. No, it's yours. You don't have to hear. I'm trying to give you the rhema right now. Here. That is yours right now. You're sinless. He's separated you from your sin. Isn't that good news? All right, so what's true about Jesus is true about you. You are created in his image. That when he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made, I created man in my image. We have a spirit, soul, and body. That soulish part is our mind, will, and emotions, right? Now, word of faith will tell you, ignore them. Just say these things long enough. How's it going? Right? It got so ridiculous, we were like, hey, we go to the elevator, and they go, we're going down. Don't say that. We're never going down. Like, shut up before I slap you. You know, like, I go, you don't believe anything about the gospel in your heart. That's why you're going down and we're going up. Even though I'm going down, and the elevator has nothing to do with it. See how corny Christians get? They just get weird to me. Totally, totally. I mean, that's how it got, wasn't it? You don't say down. We're always, well, what if I'm trying to go down? What do I do? I don't really want to go down. Read between the lines. Bizarro world to me. You know, I'm like, I'm tired of it. I'm just done with all that nonsense. I'm going, you know what? When I didn't know anything, that I just believed God loved me, I kicked butt and I'm back there. Does that make sense? I'm back in that new kingdom now. Let's just be there. Follow me? Okay. So, all right. So, when you become something so much, when you plant the goodness in your heart so much, you will be that. That's what he said. You are married to the I am that I am. And that's what God says. He goes, I am loved so much that I just naturally manifest love. You guys get it? So how do you manifest anything in your life? You start to believe that. How many of you guys want divine protection? You got to turn the TV off. Right? Because you won't believe it. You're going to see all this thing and that thing. And my mom always used to say that, well, if you don't read the newspaper, how are you going to know what's going on? Because people like you will tell me. I'm trying to avoid that, to be honest with you. I'm trying to plant what's right in my heart. Does that make sense? And of anything, that's what Africa did for us. I'm like, these guys just walk in divine protection. It's fascinating. And you know what? They put that in their heart. Now, they've got legalism and all these other things, so they can't rub two nickels together. And they're giving the last two nickels they have, throwing it at the bishop's feet. Right? But they don't believe in their heart. They're prosperous. So I don't care how many nickels they throw at him. They're not going to be prosperous because the kingdom is what you believe in your heart. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Hey, here's how the kingdom works. Is that whatever you plant in your heart is what you're going to experience. You guys get it? Okay, does that help you? So, you are completely sinless. Now, what does that make you? Every promise is yes. That's the whole Bible is taught to give you righteousness back to you. So you could be one again with the Father, that everything he has, you have. And he's a good dad that loves you so much. It's Christmas time, guys. Right? Wow, you think he just wants to give? More than any of us. Right? We still put requirements. What's the Santa song go? How's that go? You better watch out. You're going to find out who's naughty and nice? See, we program kids from this age. I'm only going to get blessed if I'm nice. Well, how many guys got little kids that they're naughty every now and then? I do. Yeah, grandkids, right? Were any of you naughty as a little kid? And the ones who were good were really naughty inside, and it was worse. Yeah, exactly right. We felt better because we're like, we're just going to be naughty, man. Let's just do this thing. And then the good ones are like dying. God, I wish I could be naughty. I just can't. Isn't that true? They resented us. They resented, like, I can't believe he's naughty and he gets away with that, because we just believe we would get away with it, isn't it? Anyway, hey. Isn't that true? The naughties are the stone throwers. Did you see what they did? Hey, you ladies, you're amazing. And you men, too, if you teach Sunday school. I did it once. And this little kid's like, teacher, teacher, he did this to me. And I'm like, God, I can't deal with this. Because I just can't. How I was raised, I'm like, well, get a bat and hit him. Just hit him. He'll stop. You know, that's kind of how I was raised. Just beat him on the head with that bat. He'll stop. So, all right. But then there would be a lawsuit. So I go, let's avoid lawsuits and not have me teach Sunday school. I'll go up here. You guys teach Sunday school. You guys know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Like, some of you men, you're like, how can you do this? I can't. Trust me, I can't. I can't. So, what's true about Jesus, true about you? Get to your feet. I'll stop this. I'm going too long. Hey, what I'm trying to show you is the whole book's about Jesus and your forgiveness. And now enter the promised land. All the promises are yours. You guys get it? Guys, it's more simple than you think. I'm into reading good books. I'm into reading more about people that have already created success because they planted the right things in their heart. Does that make sense? I don't have much time listening to people teach me how to become successful. I want to know from the guys who have already been successful. Let's read them because they just think differently. Follow me? And the only thing they don't have is forgiveness of sins. We got both. We got both. So if they could do it, guess what? Since we're completely righteous, every promise is yes and amen. Plant that promise in your heart. That's how you're supposed to experience the kingdom. Okay? And it says it's not overnight necessarily. It says first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. But what you believe about yourself. And the fundamental thing you have to believe is you're completely sinless from this day forward. Even when you're sinning. And that when you plant that in your heart, even when you're sinning, it won't be as fun anymore. It would be, and you know what? You'll start to naturally live a pretty good life. You won't have to go to the spiritualist. You won't have to do all this stuff. You won't have to be delivered. You realize I was delivered 2,000 years ago. Follow me? I'm not bipolar. I'm Christ. He loves me perfectly. And you'll come out of it, I promise you. You'll come out of it. It's the doers that, what am I doing wrong? Nothing. You're perfect in his eyes right now. Just come out of it naturally. Does that help you guys? All right, if you believe that, if you believe you're completely sinless, guys, and he died for you, and on the third day he rose for your justification, meaning you'll never do anything that he'll ever judge you for the rest of your life. He rose only when he justified everything. When you believe that, you become born out of the Spirit, is what it says, versus what I do. That's an old legalism. You become born out of the Spirit. You become born again into his sonship by what you believe in your heart. Does that make sense? So you don't need to come up here and confess. I've seen a lot of people run up here and say these words after me and confess, and their life doesn't change. I go, but when they believe the gospel and they hear the truth, I see their life naturally change and they're born again. Does that help you guys? So, because a lot of people ask me, how come you don't do altar calls and stuff? I go, because I don't see much results. And I'm not in this to build a church. I'm in this to build people is what it says. That's what it says. It says our job is to fulfill everybody into a stature of Christ. Follow me? Okay, so I just believe this. I believe that when they hear the good news, they start to be born out of that good news, that spirit, and they become a son. They start to believe they're forgiven. They get born out of what they believe versus what they're doing, and that's born again. That's all it is. Does that make sense? You start to experience life when you, God loves me. You know what you experience? His love. Hey, I'm prosperous. You know what you experience? Prosperity. Hey, I'm joyful. Start to experience it. It's really interesting. That's why we renew our mind to those truths every day. Follow me? Does that help you? So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you that everybody's separated from their sin forever. Jesus, the Word of God, the Logos of God, declares every one of these people completely sinless for the rest of their life. Father, we just thank you that righteousness is a gift in their life. They can receive every promise now just by being in your family. We don't have to work for our promises anymore. We are a joint heir of Jesus Christ. We're married to the bride. We're married to the groom. We are the bride. So every marriage covenant that we're in now with Jesus, we're not married to the law anymore. We're married to Jesus. Is everything he has, we have. So Father, just let that truth get planted in their heart deep that if they need anything, they can just require it, ask for it today. And with confidence, they can go, you know what, it's mine. I don't have to worry about whether I have enough faith where I receive it right now, don't receive it now. It will come to pass, bottom line. Because you said, we ask, we receive. That's how simple it is. So Father, we say thank you that they have supernatural prosperity planted in their heart so they become that. Father, we thank you that they have joy planted in their heart. They become that. Father, we could just declare families restored, marriages restored, grandkids restored. In Jesus' magnificent name, we ask for it, Lord. We ask for that supernaturally. Just touch their hearts so they do it, that the Word of God becomes effectual in their life and it just happens to them. So we just say thank you. Father, we just thank you that anybody under the sound of my voice, they are divinely protected. Despite what they see on TV, things, you know, they say, that's garbage. You say, you place them under your hedge of protection. And we just thank you for that. We can boldly go out and be divinely protected, never have to worry. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You're released in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.